Hello and welcome to Straight Talk. I'm Tim Gordon. We're just under 2 weeks from Washington's primary election, and the race for the state's third congressional district is widely considered one of the most competitive in the country. Democratic incumbent Marie Glusenkamp-Perez is facing a crowded field of challengers, including Washington State Senator John Braun. Braun has the endorsement of President Donald Trump and is looking to flip the district this November. Joining us today is Washington State Senator and Minority Leader John Braun. Braun was first elected in 2012 and has served four terms in the state Senate. He represents the 20th legislative district, which covers parts of Lewis, Cowlitz, Clark, and Thurston counties. Before entering politics, Braun served 31 years in the U.S. Navy. He also serves as president of his family's emergency vehicle manufacturing company, Braun Northwest. And Senator Braun, thanks so much for joining us here on Straight Talk.
Thanks for having me on, Tim.
Appreciate you coming in. So let's get right to it. The ballots are going out, and we're glad to have you in. Yeah. For people who may only know you maybe from your name or campaign signs, television ads, tell us who you are, why you're running, and what you want voters to know first.
Yeah, so you covered some of it. I'm a veteran. I served 31 years in the U.S. Navy. I went to school on a Navy scholarship, and working nights at United Parcel Service put me through school. Yeah. Commissioned in the Navy, spent 7 years on active duty as a submarine officer, and then the balance of those 31 years in the reserve, retired a couple of years ago after a very active reserve career as well. So I've run our family business for the last 27 years. We build specialty emergency vehicles, ambulances, rescue vehicles, so lots of opportunity to work with law enforcement, with fire, EMS. Very proud of the team we have there, very proud of the customers we serve, and grew that business from a fairly small company when I came back after the military to what is a sizable company now. Some people would call it a medium-sized company, but I've experienced the type of challenges businesses face in Washington to be successful in their marketplace. Very competitive marketplace, and like I said, very proud of that. So business experience in the last 14 years, I've had the good fortune to serve in the state Senate. So some experience as a citizen legislator, taking on some of the hardest problems we have in our state and in our community. So proud of that. I think I bring a wide range of experience, and I hear voters saying they want an experienced, common sense person who's committed to actually getting things done that will make their lives better, their families' lives better, their communities better, and that's the reputation I have.
Okay, well, you may have just answered it, but I'm going to ask you anyway, why are you the best person then to run and win this race?
Yeah, I think, I did kind of answer that question, but people are looking for results. They're not looking for us to repeat their problems. They want us to listen, understand, and then actually get in there and get things done, meaningful things done, not little things on the margin, but things that will actually make a difference, make their lives better, their families' lives better, their community better, their state better.
Yep. Well, this race is a key one, obviously, in a swing district, deep purple here. Washington's third voted for Donald Trump, while also putting a Democrat in this congressional seat. As someone who's running as a conservative Republican, how would you balance representing your base while also appealing to independents and Democrats who are also part of this election to make a difference?
Yeah, I think that's one of the great things about Washington's 3rd District. It's a very independent district, a district that really demands that you go out and solve the problems they're facing. And I think my reputation says I can do that. I've had the good fortune to serve in the majority. I've been the chair of Ways and Means, the Finance Committee, in the state Senate. I've balanced budgets. I've dealt with hard problems like funding education, keeping taxes low. I've worked on long-term problems like keeping college tuition low so everybody has a chance to pursue higher education if they choose to do so. I've also worked on some really tough issues on a bipartisan basis, public safety. We had some, I think, very bad public safety law put in place in the state of Washington in 2021. The one that prevented law enforcement from pursuing criminals without literally seeing them commit the act. It was very damaging across our state, and it took us 3 years to kind of pull the other side of the aisle along. But ultimately, we got back to where we need to be to allow law enforcement to do their job. The same sort of experience with the law that essentially made hard drugs illegal in our state back in 2021 as a result of a Supreme Court ruling. Again, it took us I think 3 years before we got it back in good shape. And in the meantime, there's enormous harm done to citizens across our state. But we got there, and I got there by working in a thoughtful, bipartisan way, in a minority, and still it was able to get good work done for the people of the state of Washington.
Okay. Well, as we mentioned, you do have President Trump's endorsement. Yet the New York Times reports you didn't even watch his recent speech where he made claims again about election integrity. Why didn't you watch it?
Well, I was busy out visiting folks in the district, as you might imagine. This is sure. this is a campaign. My job is to go out and talk to people and listen to people. And while I was thankful for President Trump's endorsement, and he has done well in the district, I view this as a very, as I said earlier, this is an independent district. They're going to elect me based on me getting out and listening to them, showing them that I am committed to understanding their challenges and working on those. And I'm happy to work on those in conjunction with the president. But the fundamental truth is we are going to run a campaign that's about the 3rd District, about Southwest Washington.
Okay. I've got to ask you, the 2020 election, the president doesn't believe he lost it. Can I ask you who won the 2020 presidential election?
It is simply a fact. President Biden was the president from 2021 right. until 2025.
And so he won the presidential election. Okay. Just want to get you on the record for that. Do you think the president's endorsement is going to help you in this primary, actually?
Yes, I think it is. I mean, it's a race that a district that the president won in three different elections. It's helped us pull the party together. So we're working in the same direction. We don't always agree. I don't always agree with the president. We don't always agree as Republicans. It's a big tent. But it's important that if we're going to do things that are better for Southwest Washington, for our state, for our country, that we're pulling in the same direction. I think it's been enormously helpful and bringing us all on the same page, forcing us to discuss our differences, work out, a path forward. And I think that's going to be good for the campaign and ultimately good for Southwest Washington.
Yeah. You said you don't always agree with the president. Are there some issues that you already see now that you might break from the Republican Party on? I know you had issues with the president's tariff agenda, for example.
That's the example I would use the most. I mean, I think there are some appropriate uses for tariffs, particularly when you're talking about some of the threats from China and from Russia. That there are some appropriate things he has done with tariffs, but I also think broad, sometimes indiscriminate use of tariffs can be very harmful. As we talked earlier, I run a manufacturing business. And a lot of what we do is aluminum fabrication.
It's impacted you.
It definitely impacts. So I see, and I think this is valuable perspective to bring to the administration, how it affects folks who are trying to do the right thing, trying to bring, I agree, he's trying to bring manufacturing back to the U.S. Absolutely the right goal. Tariffs are not always the right answer to that. So I think my experience will actually help provide perspective to the administration that helps us do the best thing for our state and our country.
Let's talk a little more about the economy. What do you think the biggest thing that Congress can do realistically over the next 2 years to make life more affordable for people in Southwest Washington, and how would you help to make it happen?
Yeah, so I mean, there are certain tools the federal government has. The federal government doesn't control everything; a lot of it's done at state or at local government. But the big things the federal government can do are tax rates. Keeping them low and predictable. And I think we made a good progress last year in maintaining the tax rate. It would have been an enormous tax increase. So, and all of that added some real value additions in terms of no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, no tax on Social Security. The small business tax credit is a big deal for small businesses. So those are good things. We need to continue along that line. We also, energy prices is a big deal. We sort of see that in particular in Washington, where we have the second or third, sometimes the highest gas price in the nation,
expensive, yeah.
Largely due to state policy, but the federal policy can have a big difference. And if you look at the price of fuel in Washington State from January 2025 until February, before we started the events in Iran, prices had come down by over $1 a gallon. Now, we are still one of the highest in the country, but that still is savings to individual consumers, both in filling up their gas tank, but also, and I think many people recognize this, is everything you buy has a transportation cost. So when you drive sure. prices up for transportation, it's not just at the pump for your own car, it's also for everything you buy. And that's one of the challenges we have in the state. And those are two big things where the federal government has enormous influence on, and all of the above energy strategy and a stable, long-term, cost-effective tax strategy makes a big difference in individuals' lives.
I know that's an issue you've spent a lot of time talking about. Immigration now, most voters seem to want both strong border security, but also a functioning immigration system. What's your take on what's been happening, and specifically, if anything, would you change?
I'm with most voters. I think we need a strong border that enforces existing law. And I think we've come a long ways towards that. I can tell you it's not as top of mind as it was during the Biden administration, in large part because this administration has been very effective, surprisingly effective for many people. It's a challenge we faced through many administrations and said it couldn't be done. It turns out all you had to do is try. And I'm not saying they got it perfectly, but we've made real progress there. I think the next step is to find a way to make our immigration, our legal immigration system, work better, more effectively, and in the interest of our country, and in accordance with the rule of law.
Southwest Washington continues to struggle with housing affordability. Yeah. What do you see there, and what would you do if you're elected to Congress in the first 2 years to make that better?
Yeah, so this is a hard one for Congress because it's largely state policy that's given us challenges here in Washington. I'm very familiar with this. It's regulatory cost, it's access to buildable land because of the Growth Management Act, and it's energy policy. We have probably the highest energy code in the country. It's not even that, it's that it changes all the time. So things that you could do at the federal government is try to stabilize that situation. I don't think you can fix the Growth Management Act in D.C., but you can help with the regulatory environment, and you can help with energy policy, making sure that we're not, you know, just not knee-jerking at as a state to every new energy idea, that it's good, it's efficient, it's environmental, but it's also stable long-term. I really believe, both in construction and broadly in our economy, if our folks have the chance to understand the rules and they will find answers that are economical for folk. We got to give them that stability if they're going to be successful and ultimately bring down the cost of housing.
Okay. Well, 1 minute left. We're right on time. I'm going to ask you the last question.
Okay.
If you're elected, what would success look like 2 years from now?
Well, that's a great question. I think success means, we've meaningfully addressed the affordability problem. And there, as we talked, there's a bunch of ways you can do that. We've stabilized the immigration system. We talked about that. And we've stabilized access to energy, whether it's at the gas pump or at your home, in a way that's helping individual citizens here in Southwest Washington live great lives for themselves, the family, and for broader communities.
Where do you see the race right now with ballots going out?
I think it's tight. I mean, polling is favorable to us right now, but it's you know, I'd say it's a statistical tie. I think, you know, the primary I feel very good about, but I'm focused on November, and I think it's going to be a reflection of the district. It's an independent district. It's a district that wants to see answers. I think I bring a case that I can deliver answers for the people of the state of Washington, but it's going to be ultimately up to the voters.
Yes, it will.
Yeah.
And thank you for coming in, Senator John Braun. Appreciate your time.
You bet.
All right, well, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we take a closer look at the 3rd District race with a Washington State University political science professor, from the candidates to the issues that could decide the election. So stay with us. Welcome back. As campaigns move forward, the fight for Washington's 3rd Congressional District is drawing attention from across the country. But why does it matter? What's at stake here? And what factors could ultimately decide who wins the seat in November? To help answer those questions, we are joined by Washington State University Vancouver political science professor Mark Stefan. He's taught American politics there for 25 years, has studied elections, public policy, and public administration, and has followed Washington's 3rd District closely for more than a decade now. And Mark, it's great to have you here and your expertise on the district.
Thanks, Tim. Great to be here.
You bet. Let's talk about, before we get to the primary race, let's talk about the 3rd Congressional District of Southwest Washington. We know it is very capable of electing both Republicans and Democrats.
Yes.
Give us a brief history of the district, if you will.
Well, a brief history is that the 3rd District has been mostly either a rural or a working class district for most of its history. It's only been in the last 10 to 20 years that we've seen greater suburbanization of in particular, Clark County. And so what that has meant is that there's been a real mix of voters for decades and decades. You go back and you look at representatives going back 30, 40 years, it's the same sort of bounce we see now. You know, Republicans hold the seat for a number of years, then Democrats for a number of years, then Republicans, and so on. So there's nothing new there. And in fact, what's new is the voters have changed, the mix of voters have changed. In particular, in terms of Clark County, but even in other parts of the district, they've become more conservative. Some of the rural areas that were a bit more moderate are more conservative now. And that adds to the richness of the mixture of voters in the 3rd District.
Is it true then in Clark County and Vancouver that it's gotten more liberal on that side of the equation or not?
I'd say it definitely votes more consistently Democrat and certainly more liberal in general. But then as soon as you get out to Battleground,
sure,
or Washougal or other parts of the close in Southwest Washington, they can start to become more conservative.
Yeah. Well, we've got a map here of the current configuration of the district. It's made up of Clark, Cowlitz, Lewis, Pacific, Skamania, Wauquiakum, and parts of Thurston County as well.
Yeah.
Just over 800,000 voters, a majority in Clark County, I believe. And Mark, tell us more about the diversity there and the divide, though, in this district.
Yeah. So, you know, when you look at that map, two major things, well, three major components to it. First is Clark County. What happens in Clark County is not definitive, but it's a huge part of the story. Longview is another major part of this. Longview historically has been actually very Democratic in terms of its voting behavior, but that has shifted over time, and it has joined really much of the rest of the district in voting in a more conservative Republican sort of way. There was also another really critical shift. Due to the census in 2010, parts of Olympia, South Olympia, were taken out of the district and had been split out because we added a new district in the state of Washington.
Right.
That changed the flavor of the district as well.
Yep. Well, let's talk about this primary now. It's kind of a big deal, really. Southwest Washington, the 3rd District, we have an incumbent, Marie Guzman-Perez, who's won the seat twice in close races. This time she has at least some challenge from Democrat Brent Henrich, who's never held public office. We had both of them on Straight Talk last week. And today we heard from the top Republican primary challenger, State Senator John Braun. Polling earlier this month from Emerson College shows us really as a toss-up between Marie Guzman-Perez and Braun in the primary, and if they both go on to the general, same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, is this what you would expect?
It is what I would expect. We can talk maybe a bit more about Henrich and his role in all of this in the primaries coming up. But more than likely, what we're going to see is a pretty close matchup between Braun and Guzman-Perez in the primary, and then that'll be reflected again in the general election. I think anybody at this point who actually tries to predict the outcome is just, it's fantasy.
Yeah.
Because it is going to be a close race. There's just enough of a difference in terms of Republicans, Democrats, and independents to make that happen.
Yeah. I mean, talk about Brent Henrich right now in this primary, if you will. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, the key thing about Henrich is that he's a signal, really, in my mind, to Guzman-Perez that she continues to have Democrats in the district who are not happy with her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because she is, generally speaking, a much more moderate Democrat than many of the rest in the whole House of Representatives. And she tries to serve the whole district. That's her orientation, to serve the whole district.
Sure.
And she gets some independents supporting her and even probably some Republicans supporting her. But some of her vote choices are ones that don't align with the rest of the Democratic Party. Henrich better aligns, mm-hmm. but he doesn't necessarily align better with the whole district.
Right. You kind of have to be there in the middle to reach the number of voters that you need to win.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what competitive districts are all about.
Yeah.
I mean, this race, like just a few others around the country, really show us what it looks like to have competitive elections.
Yeah.
The rest of them are so one way or another, they're actually not that interesting to a political scientist. But this race, fascinating.
Yeah, you're in the right district. And we should say that we're talking about polling here and not results. So it's very important and exciting to be a voter in this. So do get out and vote. Your vote certainly matters.
Yeah.
What does it say to you that the district overall voted for Donald Trump for president every time he's run? But has elected Marie Guzman-Perez. I think this is kind of more of the same theme.
Yeah, I think part of it has to do really with independents in the district, people who would not call themselves Democrats, who would not call themselves Republicans, and vote on candidates and their interests in political issues. It's a small slice of the 3rd District in terms of voters,
mm-hmm.
but it's enough to really kind of push it towards Trump, while also pushing towards Guzman-Perez and having done so now, you know, recently. So I think that's the big play there is those people kind of in the middle, broadly understood. But I think the other part of it is that there are Republicans who are passionate about Trump, And then there are Republicans who are not as passionate about Trump. And maybe in Glusenkamp Perez, they saw a Democrat they could live with. Mm-hmm. And that's the big question for me in this upcoming election is, does she continue to be a Democrat that many independents or Republicans can live with?
Yeah. And John Braun, and speaking of the president, is endorsed by President Trump. You heard his answers to my questions about that from him. Do you think that helps or hurts him in this race?
It helps him with what I would call Trump Republicans, right? They're going to want his to see that endorsement. Does it help with other Republicans? Not necessarily. Does it hurt him? Maybe a little. But that gets to a question that I hope we do talk about, which is turnout. Because turnout is also a part of the, it's not just who's Republican, who's Democrat, who's independent. It's also who's excited enough to show up at the primary or who's excited enough to show up at the general election.
Right. Well, tell us about turnout. You brought it up and it is important.
Yeah. I mean, for political scientists, this is critical. When you're excited about your candidate or your party, or you're upset about the other side, you show up, you know? And it's not, these days in Washington state, it's not showing up. It's you're there at home with your ballot, and you fill it out and you turn it in.
Right.
But we generally know that primaries have lower turnout, and midterm elections tend to be lower turnout. So if one side or the other can do a better job of kind of pushing their voters to show up, their supporters, that could also make the difference. And right now, nationally, the Democrats are the ones who have the wind behind them.
Right.
In the third district, not entirely clear.
Yep, that is the case. And we should remind people the primary election in Washington is a top two race, no matter a party affiliation or preference, really.
True.
How does that affect things happening there?
Well, I mean, there is a scenario. It's not likely, I would argue, but there's a scenario where Henrich, as the other Democrat, he and Glusenkamp Perez could move forward. But there's too many Republicans, honestly, in the district for that to happen. So maybe he gives Glusenkamp Perez a run for her money. More than likely, she's able to hold on for the primary and then has Braun to deal with in the general election.
And that's going to be a big deal. It'll be a very competitive race for
sure.
So we just have a couple minutes left. We really should talk about the national significance of this. This is one of really a handful of congressional races that are highly contested. Talk about that.
Well, the fact is that right now, nationally, the Democratic Party is trying to win a few extra seats to be able to win the House of Representatives. That is really what everyone is talking about. This would not be a good situation in the 3rd District for the Democrats if they lose this seat, because then they're one down and they're trying to get up.
Yeah.
So Republicans, on the other hand, see this as an opportunity, and if they can somehow make it happen, they can make it that much harder for the Democrats to take over the House. So this race, a handful of other races around the country, they will determine who controls the House. And both parties are really concerned about that.
Yeah, they certainly are. And do you think that Braun is a better candidate to compete than Kent was 2 terms before?
Yeah, so this is a good point. I think he is. And the big difference is this. Joe Kent ran in the 3rd District, but he ran to the country as a whole. He ran a national campaign in the 3rd District. Braun is smart. He's running a district-oriented campaign, and that matches him well against Glusenkamp Perez.
Yep. Less than a minute now. Final thoughts from you. What are we missing?
You know, I don't think we're missing anything. I think the missing part of this is if you don't track it. I would argue to the voters in Southwest Washington, but also to the voters of the greater Portland area, like track this race. This matters to you. You should be interested in this.
Yeah. Well, thanks for explaining it and getting people interested and being here with us today.
Sure.
Mark Stefan with WSU Vancouver. We appreciate you. And thank you so much for joining us. And if you're a Washington resident, be sure to vote. That primary election day is August 4th. A reminder, you can stream Straight Talk on your own schedule. Download the free TV app, KGW Plus, available now on Roku, Apple TV, and Fire TV. Thanks so much again for joining us. We'll see you back here next week.